那就是说，老，这些事情，今天这个，将来不嘛的，就做老，做完就做到月经结了。
Okay, now am I coming through the speakers? Oh, good. So tonight is our first session of 2018, and I'm very happy to be back and to see everyone again, and I look forward to our year together. And can you hear me at the back there? Does it sound good? Up a little bit more? Is it now a little louder through the speakers? Maybe. Okay. Dhamma practice in general can be divided into three. So there's the first part, then will be the motivation. So the motivation before that is established before one engages in any kind of activity. And just to check again, how's the volume at the back right now? Okay, good. On that side, maybe not so much. A little bit up against it. Okay. Do it again. And then, so first of all is our motivation, and then secondly is the actual practice, the main body of what we'll be doing, the activity, and then afterwards the dedication. So now we're at the first session of the year. So here it's good at the start of the first session of the year to talk about motivation, because the amount of virtue that we accumulate, this is dependent on the motivation. So the stronger the motivation, the more virtue from that same activity. So amongst all the various motivations that can be established, the very best, the supreme, is the motivation of bodhicitta.
To cultivate
the mind of bodhicitta, we remind ourselves of how all sentient beings, ourselves included, are identical in wishing only for happiness. None of, in everything we say, do or think, we are always motivated for the achievement of happiness. And we always all want to be separated from all forms of suffering and problems and difficulties. In this way, we are all the same. We don't want to experience any kind of problem or obstacle, no matter how slight, and we only want to experience moments of happiness. So thinking how not only do we have that wish, but so do all those around me and all beings without exception, we give rise to the wish that may all beings experience only happiness. May all beings be separated from all forms of problems and difficulties, no matter how slight. And then moreover, we generate this wish to the point where the aspiration becomes very strong, that may all beings only experience happiness. May all beings, without exception, be freed from all forms of suffering and difficulty. And we cal- cultivate this mind further, taking it to the point where we take on responsibility, or we accept the responsibility to lead all beings to the state of enlightenment, the state where they are freed from all forms of suffering and experience the greatest form of happiness. So generating this wish to lead all sentient beings, then this is followed by the wish to become a Buddha ourselves, because then as a Buddha we'll be the most skilled of guides. And in order to become a Buddha, then one has to understand the various Buddhist paths. One needs to understand what are non-virtuous activities and how to abandon them, and what are virtuous activities and how to adopt them. And in this way, we can develop and progress spiritually, progress towards Buddhahood, and also guide others. So we're talking here about establishing our motivation to receive these teachings. And amongst the various motivations, we said that the supreme motivation is the motivation of bodhicitta. So we've mentioned briefly how to cultivate this mind. Then furthermore, now that we've come to this point of making the commitment to attain this, to strive to attain the state of Buddhahood in order to lead all sentient beings, we now turn our reflection to return our awareness to reflect on this I. So we're saying I want to attain Buddhahood for the sake of sentient beings. So who is this I? And here now we think about, so where is this I? How does this I appear to me? Then coming to see how the I or the self appears, we then investigate and we search for it in the way that we've heard many times in the past. And we come to the conclusion that the way that the I appears, it doesn't exist in this way. And then we come to an understanding of mere emptiness. And moreover, not only is the I empty of true existence, or empty of existing in the way that it appears, but what about sentient beings? All these beings that we have now committed to leading to enlightenment, how do they appear? And do they exist in the way that they appear? Then we investigate and come to the same conclusion, that they do not, we cannot find them existing in the way that they appear. Likewise with the Buddha Dharma itself, with the founder teacher, the Buddha himself, none of these exist in the way that they appear to our mind. In this way we come to an understanding of emptiness, because we come to see that all phenomena are dependent arisings, dependent on causes and conditions, dependent on parts, dependent on mere imputation by mind. In this way we now develop an understanding of emptiness. So here now we have developed the motivation of the Mahayana, a motivation of both bodhicitta and emptiness. Now let's look at today's class. So we've been looking for at a little while now on the practices of the bodhisattvas, the six perfections, and we've come to the fifth of the sixth, the perfection of concentration, and that's where we are now. When we talk about concentration in this context, it means the mind of calm abiding, the mind that can hold the object of meditation single pointedly without any distraction. So if we think of a river which is very broad and expansive, the water is probably going to be not have much power, not much strength. It's be quite still. And if there's any garbage in the water, it's just going to float there. However, if the river were too narrow, then the current would pick up and the river would become fast flowing. And any garbage in the river, that would quickly be washed away and the river would be become clean again. We know from our own experience when trying to meditate and trying to hold the object of meditation single-pointedly, we know how very difficult this is and how immediately the mind becomes distracted. And even when we bring it back and we're trying to hold the object or engage with the object, we see that our mind is weak, it lacks strength. So this can be likened to the river which is broad and expansive, but that water lacks any strength. However, if one is engaging in the cultivation of calm abiding, then one will be able to hold one's object of meditation with more strength. One will start to become less and less distracted from the object. So what this means is that any object that one is meditating on, any mind that one is trying to cultivate, our mind that is trying to focus on this object of meditation will be progressively becoming more and more powerful. And due to our mind becoming more powerful and engaging with the object in an undistracted manner, we will be able to attain realizations so much more easily.
As with the other perfections,
the mind of the perfection of concentration is only found in a Buddha. So that's the quality of being that has a mind that can be called the perfection of concentration. Other beings, such as the other bodhisattvas, certainly they'll have the mind of concentration, but it isn't called the perfection of concentration. That the actual mind of the perfection of concentration is only found in a Buddha. And this, of course, isn't the case only with the perfection of concentration, but it's the case with all the perfections. Usually, when we talk about the perfections, in English we use the term perfection. Our text uses a different translation, the word transcendence. So, transcendence carries part of the meaning that the meaning of the Tibetan that the word perfection doesn't carry. So, the Tibetan word has this meaning of gone beyond. So this is in the tense of the past tense. So something that where we have gone beyond. So that's, you've already attained the far shore, and you've gone beyond where you were before. So transcend carries that meaning, whereas the word we usually use, that of perfection, doesn't really carry that meaning. So here you can see then a being who has a transcendent concentration or the perfection of concentration in their continuum is someone who has gone beyond, and that is a Buddha. So other beings who have concentration, such as bodhisattvas, so they are cultivating the mind of concentration, or practicing concentration, so therefore we wouldn't use the past tense, we'd use the present tense with them. They are practicing concentration, they have not perfected concentration. So therefore, and this is where our usual translation is appropriate, so therefore a bodhisattva hasn't perfected the practice of concentration, and therefore we wouldn't say they have the perfection of concentration, but are rather practicing concentration. A Buddha, on the other hand, a Buddha has perfected the practice of concentration. However, there are some teachers and some texts who do say that the perfections are present in the continuum of a bodhisattva. So they will talk about the perfection of concentration in the continuum of a bodhisattva. So this is a way of expressing or a way of talking that some teachers use and is expressed in some texts.
Par
Teachers who express themselves by saying that the perfections are present in the continuum of a bodhisattva, they back up this assertion by saying that this term refers to both those who have gone beyond as well as those who are currently going beyond. So they would use this term in both the present as well as the past tense. So referring to Buddhas who have gone beyond as well as to bodhisattvas who are going beyond. So they would, if their understanding is such, then they would say that the perfections are present in the continuum of bodhisattvas. I wanted to just make this clear because you may read one thing and hear another thing and think there's a contradiction. So I just want to explain the basis for these two different ways of thinking. So myself and others who think in the way that I do, we say that a perfection is only present in a continuum of a being who has perfected that practice. In other words, a Buddha. Whereas there are others, and they say that the perfections are present both in those who have perfected the practice as well as those who are perfecting the practice. So now you know both ways of thinking. So now I've explained these two different presentations clearly. So in your own time, when you're reading other texts and you see something, see this view expressed as I have presented it, then you'll know that person and I share the same view. And sometimes you'll read someone expressing it in a different way, and then you won't be surprised and think there's a mistake, but rather know that that someone else has just adopted a different understanding, and you'll know their reasoning behind it. It's good to know these different presentations or different ways of presenting, because it's all too easy if you're familiar just with one presentation, that when one hears another valid presentation, to criticize it, to unnecessarily criticize it, and thinking that, what I heard before was correct, this is mistaken. And rather, we should be develop our knowledge further, and in this way, we will engage with more wisdom and not criticize unnecessarily. We'll continue now with the text, but just to say that in Lama Tsongkhapa's Lamrim, so either the middle Lamrim or the great Lamrim, there Lama Tsongkhapa presents how to develop concentration or single points of concentration in great detail.
Mm-hmm.
So this text here presents the practice of concentration in a very brief manner, not like the extensive presentation found in Lama Tsongkhapa's Lamrim. So in English, we're near the bottom of page 250, at the heading, the actual concentration. So here presents the three types of concentration: the concentration practiced by ordinary beings, concentration which clearly discerns, and the excellent concentration of the Tathagatas.
When it
comes to how to cultivate calm abiding, this is presented as, in great detail in a text by Maitreya called The Ornament of Clear Realizations. And there he presents the nine stages of mental abiding, as well as the five antidotes and other divisions, which show very clearly the various stages that one needs to progress through sequentially in order to come to the actual attainment of calm abiding.
Firstly,
in a text that presents that the first mind that one needs to cultivate is the mind of faith. So to have strong faith in the Buddha Dharma, from this will arise the second quality one needs, and that is the mind of aspiration. Because the faith that arises, the aspiration that arises from faith, will be a strength of mind to lead one to strive through all the hardships that are required to be overcome to actually eventually attain calm abiding. So the first mind that one needs to generate is that of faith, which leads to the second mind, that of aspiration. And then thirdly, the aspiration then leads into the third mind, and that is of joyous perseverance.
Jawa
So these minds need to be cultivated, faith leading to aspiration and then joyous perseverance, for the particular reason of overcoming the various obstacles that there are to achieving calm abiding. So amongst the obstacles, one of the large ones is the mind of laziness. Laziness, there are many types, but one that we're very familiar with and certainly is a clear obstacle to the attainment of calm abiding is the laziness of procrastination. The laziness that says, after this work is finished, I will then set out to achieve calm abiding. After this particular activity or these groups of activities are finally behind me, that will be the stage in my life when I strive to cultivate calm abiding. But if one has come under the sway of this laziness of procrastination, then years pass by and one doesn't actually sit down and strive to achieve this mind. Procrastination is something that can consume and does consume so much of our time. We may think, oh, I'm young, I have time ahead of me. Now I can put energy into establishing my career. Also, I need to relax, so I put energy into having a good time with my friends. I mean, thinking in this way, time passes very quickly. So this then is the mind of laziness and a particular division of procrastination, and it is one of the major obstacles to the attainment of single-pointed concentration. If one stays under the influence of a mind such as the laziness of procrastination, then concentration cannot be attained. And without concentration, one's meditation, one's study of meditation, will still progress, will still bring about results and a change in one's thinking. But those results will be comparably much weaker. Our understanding of impermanence, our understanding of emptiness, while some will arise from our study and reflection, those understandings will be very weak compared to the understanding or realization that would follow from meditating with a mind of single-pointed concentration. Sits down to start cultivating the mind of concentration, one may choose as an object a Buddha image. So if you've tried to do this, you'll see, first of all, how difficult it is to concentrate, to hold it single-pointedly, or even if one does, how the color of the image may change, how the size of the image may change, whether it's growing larger or growing smaller, how the shape may even change, and it's gone from being a visualized Buddha image to a cow or some other very different object. So in this way, our discursive thinking influences and takes over us. However, if one with perseverance continues with one's training and trains repeatedly, then we'll certainly see progression in the strength of our mind and the ability to hold an object, and that object will start to become clearer and clearer. And we'll actually come to a point when we come close to attaining calm abiding, when we'll be seeing the visualized Buddha image with such clarity that we think we could almost reach out and touch it because it seems so real and lifelike. So that would be a sign of the attainment or near attainment of calm abiding. And furthermore, continuing to meditate, and that one then not only is able to see the object with such vivid clarity as if the object was physically before one, but one could continue to meditate and experience no mental difficulty such as fatigue or distraction, and no physical discomfort or difficulty at all. And in this way, one's obstacles to progressing in one's meditation are overcome. So these are also signs of the attainment of calm abiding. Then again, Ludan Simki Kanyo Mepa Dang, the Yul Selpo Tongiore Desum, then Shini Jobsum. So when one has got this, the physical and mental when one isn't experiencing any physical or mental obstacles in one's meditation, and one is seeing the object with clarity, then one has attained calm abiding. The cultivation of the practice of cultivating the mind of calm abiding, it's important to have come to understand the various stages as well as the obstacles that one will experience and the antidotes to apply to those obstacles. And this is important for many reasons, but one of them is that when one can be close to the attainment of actual calm abiding, one may come under the influence of mind such as laxity and lethargy without realizing it, especially when these are now in a subtle form, not the coarse form. So we'll be quite used to coarse lethargy. We're meditating and we're sitting there a little bit relaxed, quite calm, but our mind is dull. It's almost as if we were sleepy. And of course, sometimes we do nod off when meditating. But other times we may think we're meditating well, but our mind is actually quite dull. So this is a mind of laxity. And in the higher stages of the development towards the attainment of calm abiding, this mind of lethargy can become quite subtle. So one needs to understand what this mind is clearly, so that one is aware when it's arising. And then similarly, another obstacle is the mind of laxity. And here we can be meditating, and we're holding the object, but the object is being held in a way that it's not quite as clear as it should be. The mind the object is a bit dull. So here this is the mind of laxity. And again, when it's in its coarse form, we can recognize this quite easily. But as we progress in towards the attainment of calm abiding, we may actually think we've attained the mind of calm abiding, but actually we haven't. We've just fallen under the influence of the mind of subtle laxity and are not recognizing this mind of subtle laxity. What I'm explaining here is something that I've read about a lot and studied well. I personally have no experience of this, so it's good that I say this now clearly. But it is something that I've come to know through the text, and therefore I share this knowledge with you.
So when
I teach, sometimes I say to you quite clearly that on this subject I have an understanding of the subject, but I have no realization or experience of the subject. So when you hear me say that, don't then think to yourself, oh well, if he hasn't realized it, I'm not going to listen to what he has to say on the subject. Because unless he's realized it and he says he's realized it, I'm really not interested in hearing what he has to say. So that's, if you were to think in that way, you would be going too far. So when a teacher knows something, then he may say he knows it. He may say he doesn't know it. Likewise, if a teacher doesn't know a subject, they may openly say, I don't know this. Or they may keep it hidden and not say that they don't know that subject. So either are possible. One thing that an illustration I can give here is that, for example, His Holiness, he always says on this and other subjects, oh, I don't know about this, I don't have experience of this. So he says this as well.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's important to say that, oh, I don't have any experience of, for example, the mind of calm abiding, because if I don't say anything, you may think, oh, he has experience of this, and I may be, from my side then, pretending as if I do. And in that, if I'm pretending to be something that I'm not, then this is dishonest. And amongst the various forms of dishonesty, this is a great form of dishonesty, and therefore the negative karma would be substantial. So therefore it's just good to be clear and to say up front that I don't have experience of this mind. So let's now return to the text and look at the first outline, or the first type of calm abiding, and that's the concentration practiced by ordinary beings, or literally childish beings, or children. So this is then concentration that is being developed by someone who has the aspiration to attain the physical and mental bliss of pliancy, and who has the aspiration to see the object, to be able to experience the object in powerful clarity. So this is a person who is training to achieve calm abiding, and amongst the nine stages of mental training, they would be probably on the fourth, fifth, or sixth of the nine stages of mental abiding. And so the reason why it's called then ordinary beings or childish beings is because it can be like someone who's in training can be referred to as the child, and the person who has completed their training and realized the mind would be likened to the adult. So that's why we have here childish being or ordinary being. So this is the person in training, meditating, cultivating this mind of concentration. The second type is the clear discerning concentration. So this is someone who's continued their cultivation of the mind of calm abiding, and they haven't yet quite attained calm abiding, but they're very close. So this practitioner now has attained the physical and mental pliancy and experiencing the bliss of that pliancy. They are also able to hold an object single-pointedly for as long as they wish, for an unlimited period. But they haven't yet attained calm abiding. They're very close to it. The step they still need to take is through the power of the bliss that comes through the physical and mental pliancy, through the power of that bliss, they need to then give rise to the mind of concentration. And that would be the mind of single point of concentration. So they haven't got there, but they're almost there.
Na Mandelia, and that the Dishin Shepa, Negasore, and Dishin Shepa gave you something such to her. De La Nadinegi, that did it, Tonzin Yambo, and Lodan, Tradi, Chuyin number me to be things in the Nevasa. Tagangele, Cocomse, Shinio Comse, Yuji, Tomba Yiche, Tomba Yu, Dishin, and Yuji, Tomba Yiche. That Tony La Lodi, Tiju, Nesha, Kazio, Comne, Luda, Sem Shinjangi, Tawachi. Deva di drum big, that don't you let it do near native can ding it in the ding it in key on the Java and Zan, key on the Delan, chain number to be ding it in city, and it DJ big gave it sometimes a mean to that was Sanji Chimney, the DJ about Sanji give you Tobany let it do, number Shasim, Guinea Mayova, this is number Shane, Shinjang, the drum big ding it in Nashin Chick.
Then the third type of calm abiding, the excellent concentration of the Tathagatas. So this now is a practitioner who has actually attained calm abiding, and they are meditating on the subtle object of emptiness. So they're holding emptiness single-pointedly, and they've given rise to this mind of single-pointed concentration through being induced or through the power of the bliss that arises from their physical or mental pliancy. And so they have this mind of concentration, and without wavering or without distraction, they are holding the subtle object of emptiness. And this then is the third type of concentration.
Migi Nidu Tatang Jebaso Galchiti, Lujana, Zatang, Zatana, Lundrang, Lundrana, Semjang. That is, he needed to tank color, she needed to do color, Jetang for sure. Kaze, Nanduki, that the Lemon Chimbana, she on do, Lun Namna, she to Jesse, she was Dishigor, that Lun Namna, she to Jesse, Dickor, my Jetang for sure.
Like you do not hear. Then the text refers here to, so we're near the top of page 251. Whenever you practice concentration, it is important to sit in the seven-point posture of Vairochana. And then there's a quotation here. So this then is all about the posture that one should adopt in order to achieve calm abiding.
で、さ、ルナムナで、さ、ナンバーナで、シュタナシンチェね、デシェコンググレス、じゃさ、さ、ナンバーナで、がね、シュアスね、チャニドス、デネ、ニャムジャチェドウチェね、リュクドウチェ、ウディテスマグウチェ、ミディ、デソジェナロチェ、ディネシ、ドウチェ、シュティンジ、サジ、ナムナチェ、ディシュアレ、じゃ、ディナシンチェね、ネネデウグレス、シネチュティカブラ。
Someone is meditating to and meditating, striving to attain calm abiding. Then one should adopt this the seven-fold posture of Vairochana. So if we look at an image of Vairochana, and we'll see how this Buddha sits, then we'll see it sitting in the normal Buddha image with the hands together, and the eyes partially closed and cast downward.
Yeah,
Some of the seven points include then sitting with one legs crossed, perhaps in the lotus posture, and secondly holding the two hands together in comfortably in one's lap below the belly button, and then our arms loose on either side. So the idea is to keep them loose, not tight, so that air can move between. Otherwise, if we are a bit too cozy, we may nod off. And then likewise, our eyes should be downcast, partially closed. And the reason for that is so as not, if we're looking around, then we're going to be a bit more distracted seeing things in our environment. So we should rather be looking downwards. So here we're sitting with and then also with a straight back. So sitting with a straight back, cross legs, hands folded in our lap, arms slightly loose, and our eyes downcast. So here we're sitting quite straight, and the purpose of sitting straight, as it says here in the text, is that then if our channels are straight, our subtle channels, then the wind or the energy will be able to move through the body and through the subtle body in an unobstructed manner, and that means the mind will be unobstructed. So this will help us with the attainment of calm abiding. So the way that you're sitting on a cushion, this is correct. When you have the larger flat cushion, and then you have the smaller one upon which you are actually sitting, because this helps keep you upright and leaning your back upright and not slouching. So this is called the cushion of concentration. So that is the way you're sitting is the correct way to have these two cushions, the main base and then the smaller one upon which you actually sit.
This posture is important for the achievement of calm abiding because of keeping the body straight and therefore the subtle channel straight and the energies therefore can move more easily. Sorry. The energies can move more easily through the channels. And this means... So if the energies can move in an unobstructed manner, then the mind also will be more conducive or more serviceable, and the mind will be more under control. So like being a skilled driver of a vehicle. One follows this advice, like sitting in the position of Arachana and ensuring that the environment is a little cool, not too hot, otherwise one may drift off. Then, if you then engage in this meditation repeatedly, then this powerful mind of calm abiding can be achieved. So the text then here expresses the entity of concentration. Your mind free from any thought and rest in equanimity in a state where there is no grasping to anything. So it says here, your mind free from any thought. This way of expressing things can be very easily misunderstood. So what it actually means is not thinking, but it means not grasping at anything. So a mind that is not grasping at its object. So the meaning here when of the perfection of concentration is what is presented in this line here. Your mind free from grasping at any object and resting in equanimity in a state where there is, no grasping at anything. So the meaning is, our mind is not grasping at any object, whether it's an external object or an internal object of the mind. Rather, one is aware that of the empty nature of the mind. And then this understanding of emptiness, of mere emptiness, this is being held single-pointedly. And this then is the entity of the mind of the perfection of concentration.
Sagu de Mibigi, Topaki, Namdo, Kigore, Chizan, Namdo Kina, Tigoma, Chizan, Namdo, Chasan, Gaji, Gaya, Samadabache, Dusin, Gombo, did something Gombare, Dinichi Higore, Chizan, Dina, the Pasichiba, Maris, Chizan, Dinichi Lukoye, Yanga, Chizan, Dinichi Yula, Majibas, Sendi, Rashan, Tongani, Chibu, Mato, Yen.
There used to be a view that was taught in Tibet by the Chinese monk Hasang, which was that one should not think at all, because if one thinks, then that mere thinking will be over-conceptualization. So therefore, his method of meditating was don't think. And then him and his students, they trained in not thinking, in having no thought. So that is one meaning, to a mind free from any thought. But in any text that we are now likely to read, when we see free from thought, we shouldn't take it to mean that. We shouldn't take it to mean that it means don't think. This is a mistake. Rather, it means not to grasp at anything.
So just looking back then at the bottom of page 250, where we see the first of the three types of concentration that practiced by ordinary beings. When you are attached to the experiences of bliss, clarity, and absence of thought. So here, just to then say from my side, the language we'd usually use is not bliss, fine, clarity, fine, but we wouldn't usually say absence of thought because of this potential misunderstanding that Genno just explained. We'd usually say something like non-discursiveness or non-conceptual, or non-discrimination, probably not, usually say non-conceptual. So, now back to what Genla said. So when I read this earlier, and I read about bliss, clarity, and non-conceptual, I actually thought that the text here was talking about Tantra, and had included this explanation here in the practice of ordinary beings, and I was a little surprised. Because the same terminology is used in the presentation of developing calm abiding when meditating in the tantric system as opposed to the sutra system. So there one uses the bliss of the subtle mind to realize emptiness. So here the subtle mind, so using the bliss to realize the object emptiness with clarity, and you're doing it with a mind that is non-conceptual or non-discursive, or what we have here in the English, the absence of thought. So when I read this earlier on, I was a little bit surprised. I thought here in this first division they're talking about the practices of Tantra.
Mm-hmm. Diniki dewa diki tonyi ngosum tu toba tila, lobe lo tila, desai mi toba sigur, desai mi toba, yishi sigur, desai mi toba. Dewa la ne kor tonyi toha, lo koron dewa chie, yishi shibi dewa chie. Sawa la du tonyi di dunji na madrawa, sawa ngosum toba sigur. Dele ya desai mi toba sigur, lagu chie.
Sawa ki kore nyanke gana?
Sawa si du tonyi ngos dunji na madrawa, sawa ngosum toba. Di dewa diki, dewe tonyi ngosum toba tila, tanda la, Yigi Sheba Devigi, Sheba Tasho, Devadigi, Tony Monson, Topigi, Yishi Chimbatilla, and the same Topala for it. 62 Dala, Marka Tinichi.
So the Sanskrit, so the mind, of course, has many levels and many different kinds of minds, and then these have levels in terms of coarseness and subtlety. So then in the Tantric presentation, the subtlest mind, then this is. Maybe generated, or with this subtlest mind, when one realizes this, then bliss arises, and then one uses this mind to realize the object of emptiness with clarity. So that is the meaning in the tantric presentation of bliss and clarity.
Manto deji sheba ne lu gatse ko mon ne lu ya ane kanga me ba lu ji dewa ane sim gatse ko ne sim le kanga me de sim ji dewa lu da si lu sim xin jiang ge dewa si wo de la lu sim xin jiang ge dewa ta sa wa la yo du yu di ga re le mi ne ko ma na ding ge ding ko ma yo du yu di ba se wo che ane lo sim de ya dung bu che dung ri che ne ane se wo na di ge lo sa wa na wa ta mi do ba la du ta sa wa na na mi ge lo chasang xi xie yu ding yin jing la pa ne nam yang chasang xi ane yu zhe ji lu yu le ne che ding yin zhe ji lu ne 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 yu gab la lu da sem ane gang a mi ji gen de lang lang yu ba zin da ye le de sai mi dok ba si wo de wa si du lu xin jang de wa de ji yang du de wa si sem de wa la gong da de di de wa si du lu da sem la xin jang de wa si gang a mi ji gen de wa gang a mi bi de wa xin jang de wa Sawa said the Yukala Mina Komna, you did Sawa Nati and Chichi. And then Midovala do, and Delia and Namdo Shishi, Namdo, Sem Namia Chasan Shishi, she will never be Dinichila and Shinirwa, she's not Dinichinilla, the Semidova in the court, it don't not delivery. The Napoli don't not tick Tibor China, don't have a car.
And then in the Sutra method, then these same words, the meaning's a little different. So the word bliss. Doesn't have anything to do then with the subtle mind, but it's rather the bliss, the physical and the mental bliss that comes with pliancy. And in clarity, that refers to the clarity of the object that one is meditating on. So the object is seen with tremendous clarity. And then it's a non-discursiveness. Then this means that there is no distraction. So that is the meaning in the sutra presentation of these three terms. So quite different from the tantric meaning.
Shiji lepene lagu ji la mine shine juba ne shine dinge zin jupcha ne dene dinge zin di yu gawa la kapo ye che dawa ne sim zi shi ne ba di ye la yu du bo ne pene nga zu chu lu chi ki di wa ne chu di ne ki yu ba ne chu di gawa chu gawa ma teng me na gawa na yu yu li gu wa di na shin ko shine jupcha wa ne dene ko yu gara la sam da sha ba ne pene dang zu jan shu sim bi nyam ne ka shi yu du shine jupcha ne
When it comes to actually accomplishing single points of concentration, as we heard earlier, the mind becomes very powerful. And not only powerful, but it becomes very disciplined in that whatever object one is meditating on, one remains on that object in an undistracted manner. so that you can place your mind on any object and stay on that object with ease. And this is so important to a bodhisattva or an aspirant bodhisattva, because they are wanting to cultivate very powerful realizations in a continuum. So they will meditate on, for example, generosity with the mind of single-pointed concentration. So they'll do their analysis, or they'll meditate on the practice of generosity with single-pointed concentration. Then in terms of the practice of ethical conduct, this too will be meditated on with single-pointed concentration, as will the practice of patience, etc.
Then we'll finish here tonight. We finished looking at the practice of the perfection of concentration. We spoke briefly about the benefits, such as one will develop a very powerful, stable mind, a mind that you can utilize to quickly accomplish realizations. So here, this, as with all the other practices we've heard about, if we cultivate this mind repeatedly over a sustained period, then we will achieve something. So it's important with whatever object of meditation we have, or whatever our meditation practice we have, that we engage in this repeatedly every day. And doing so over a sustained period, change will come. So the way that we can utilize concentration in our practice is, let's say, as our daily meditation, we meditate on the mind of bodhicitta. So we generate this wish of, I will attain Buddhahood so as to liberate all sentient beings and lead them to enlightenment. So here we've cultivated this mind, and we've generated this strong emotion within us. And then we can hold this mind in an undistracted manner. And that there will be our training in concentration. Well, if we say meditating every day on love, then we cultivate this mind, all sentient beings just like myself only want to experience happiness. May they experience happiness. And then when we give rise to this strong wish, may all sentient beings only experience happiness, then hold that mind in an undistracted way. And in this way our concentration will improve.
Whereas on the other hand, if we sometimes meditate on say love, sometimes we meditate on a different subject, sometimes on concentration, then lasting change or stability is not going to come about. Rather, we need to meditate every day, and we need to have a sustained practice, and we meditate on the same objects every day. And in this way, change will come. And if we incorporate concentration into this practice, our mind slowly over time will become more concentrated and less distracted. And just lastly to say that in the meditation advice, we always encourage to meditate first thing in the morning. So the reason for that is when we wake up in the morning, our body and mind are rested and strong, and that's usually the best time to meditate. So if we can go to bed a bit earlier, get up a little bit earlier, and then do some meditation before engaging in the day's activities, then our activities for that day will be virtuous and will turn out well. Next time we'll continue in the middle of page 251 with the perfection of wisdom. So, some questions. Yes, sir.
I have a question about attaining calm abiding. Just checking. I have a couple of questions, actually. First of all, is my understanding that when attaining calm abiding, for example, on the image of a Buddha, in the last moment you actually let go of that image and your object then is the clear and is the clear and knowing nature of consciousness?
Okay, so your first question is my understanding correct that in the moment of attaining calm abiding on an object that is, say, a Buddha image, one actually lets go of that mental image, and one's object then becomes the clear knowing nature of the mind?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. Yamena zingire, yamena chargire, yamasa.
Dire, dangandugi, shini, dutta mikba de la damara in Gurua, kashi, sim langla, sam dangkumna. In Andrude, Sanji Kujila, Mivaina, Dambo Sanji Kudila, Ganesh to Yahomita, Yahoko, Tasaran. Jeleda, Nashine Dubdukabla, down to Samon Alia, Denizile, Sanji Kudishi, and the Mikhtova, Dahara, some begin some dialogue. Denigi, some da da da
Some of the Gishinet, the Mutile, Kudilba, Sebu, Rochitonche, Tele Miko, Missis, Mine, then the Mina to do some Tonya, some of the Paturu, and the member Chetur, the Ajadia, Sam Dilia, some Dijana, some Dango. Did you have a song? Did you have a song? Then you need a Shinet Drupto Katsa De, then you need a Migu De, Penna Sangiku, Dadung Singirepe. So, I'll just say quickly, when you're developing karma body, you can do so on many objects, such as a Buddha's image. Amongst the many objects, that's one. And so you hold it becomes clearer and clearer, and you hold it with greater clarity and greater time. And then when you come to achieve calm abiding, you're still holding that as your object. Okay. Okay. Champa, did you have a question? You sure?
In that swing, the child life, which is sort of like in the sixth and seventh stage, and then just prior to becoming abiding, after that becoming abiding, using the bliss to then meditate on, or the privacy to meditate on the natural phenomenon. Does that mean that a non-Buddhist can't develop from abiding?
Of these three divisions, and the first division was relating to the fourth to the sixth stages of the nine stages of karma abiding, and then the nine mental abidings. Then the second division of concentration related to the ninth stage, and then the third division was where you're using the bliss of karma abiding to meditate on emptiness, on the nature of reality. So does that mean a non-Buddhist, or someone who doesn't accept the view of emptiness, can then not attain karma abiding, or the third type of karma abiding?
Yeah, because the first two are really karma abiding.
Yes, yes. Is that one? Yes, okay. Okay. Then, Shundi Nangla, something that Rinpa Sum Yore, then Rinpa Dampo Dang Nipa, Nishine Madruken De Yore, then Rinpa Sumpa De Shine Yorken Re, Yine Nangchukelen Majeken, Nangchukelen Majeken, Konso Chugi Chuni Yamena Dompenigi Kola Gompagab Yamare, then Rinpa Sumpa De Nangcho kele maje ken kong drupsiki mare kaze chuni dan drabo gom kyapyo mare deni konso shine drup tup kirepe
shine da di du du mare da di da nga tu shiye di da nangbyo chwe ne chi ko tongyi pashin dhungi ko shi go rwa pashin dhungi ko tu shiye o du da samdengi pashin ko shiye du da samdengi pashin nyamli che ba la tongyi tuwa nil ku nyamli che gu re sa ji shiye wa da tongyi le ya jari song ma to shidang shine dhuya da la
So non-Buddhists can achieve karma abiding. However, this particular presentation is in the context of the six perfections. Hence, emptiness has been emphasized here. But karma abiding can be attained by anyone, because the object does not have to be a Buddha image or something from the Buddhist religious tradition. It can be achieved on anything. It can be achieved on a flower, a stone, or the beauty of one's partner. So the object can be absolutely anything, and therefore non-Buddhists certainly can achieve karma abiding. Okay. Then thank you very much. Until next week. Oh.
Sintyo Rinpo Je Ma Ye Ba Na Ma Ye Ye Ya Va Nyan Ba Me Ba Ma Ne Gung Du Pe Va Sintyo Rinpo Je Ma Ye Ba Na Ye Ye Ya Va Nyan Ba Me Ba Ma Ne Gung Du Pe Va Bho ji dara jin ba dang gun du dang bho de yang de shi Ye da gun ji ji du da lo Che wang ji da dam ji ra du Ye da ji lin ji wa dam ji Mo wa ga la chu du ma wa Da ngi ki vi ta wa ji gu Sang bho ji ji ra du
Oh.